Hi, and welcome to another edition of Pigeons with me, your host, Yuralee Wickham Ashby. And today we'll take a look at another issue that is affecting many Barbadians, and that is kidney disease. So today I have with me Alan Haynes, president of the Kidney Association of Barbados, and member Carl Griffith. They will chat with me and just generally share about kidney disease, kidney health, and what we in Barbados can do to keep our kidneys in excellent health. Welcome to Visions, gentlemen.
Thank you, Yuralee, and good morning to you and your listeners across our beautiful island of Barbados. This is Alan Haynes.
Yes, I am Carol Griffith, a dialysis patient. Nice being here.
Thank you. So, Alan, I'm going to start with you. Can you explain what is kidney failure or renal failure, as some persons will call it?
Normally, there are five stages of kidney failure. The last stage is stage five, and that is referred to as end-stage kidney failure. And most persons need, at this stage, need dialysis or a transplant or a miracle in order to live. The unfortunate thing is that the first stages of kidney disease, there are very, very few symptoms. And most people at those stages that are not even aware of what stage they are and if they have any deterioration in their kidney function.
Okay. Stage two, three, and four, what are there any signs?
Most people during stage one to three have no signs at all. The kidney is a kind of miraculous little organ. And what it does is that it may be, I give an example like a guard in a store. The cashier and the other people in the store working really well and say, and the guard is trying to keep back the robbers and stuff from out there. And so they're unaware what has happened. A similar thing with kidney disease. So you may be having certain like high blood pressure. The two main causes of kidney disease are high blood pressure and diabetes. So you may have these and they are damaging your kidneys, but you don't have any signs of this at stage one. It deteriorates one, two, three. Maybe when you get to stage four, you may see a little, your urine begins to have a little froth, and that is probably one of the first signs. And this means that what is happening is that protein is actually being leaked and passing through the pores in the kidney and coming into your urine. And that tends to be one of the first signs. But other than that, people have no signs at all. And we'll get another point later on where that's what we call for early testing, but we'll get into that later.
Well, actually, we can go into the testing because you're saying to us that stage one to three are generally symptom-free. Well, I shouldn't say it. So yeah, you're saying
that's a fair statement, symptom-free.
Right. So then how regular should we have our kidneys checked? And can we check ourselves, or do we need to go to a medical practitioner?
No. In the early stage, you're unable to check yourself. What you need to do is that there's a blood test and a urine test, and this can be done with your GP. You don't have to go to a professor. Most GPs can have, especially the urine test, and if they may see blood in your urine, they may see that protein is being leaked into the urine. There's also a blood test that measures the how the kidney is functioning. And that will determine what stage you are at.
Okay. So can you and Carl share with us your journey in experiencing kidney failure?
I can let Carol share first because our experience is totally different. So I can let Carol share with you first.
My journey with kidney failure has been a sudden one. It all happened one Sunday morning. I was standing in the kitchen cooking with the wife, and collapsed. When I recovered, I was in the hospital, and by the Friday of the said week, I was being told that I had to be doing dialysis. Now, that was a traumatic experience, not knowing exactly what to experience, what was going to happen or what would be happening. It so turned out that I had to start doing dialysis 3 days a week at the time I was working, 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, 4 hours each session, and that there affected my ability to provide for my family. It affected me in the workplace. Always have to be asking for time. In a matter of months, it was so extreme that the high blood pressure that was the main cause of the dialysis, the kidney failure, burst the blood vessels in the back of my eyes, rendered me almost blind. I could not see anymore. Had to stop driving. Had to stop, give up the work. And when one is the main breadwinner in the family, that affects the family tremendously, not able to provide for the family anything like that there. And that has been my journey for the last 9 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Yudeli, my journey was totally different from Carol, but Carol's journey is indicative of what happens to most people who go on to dialysis. They end up in accident emergency, and they're told they have to start dialysis the next couple of weeks, days, whatever. Now, in my case, I was different. I was tested significantly when I was 20. And I was tested because I was selected by my family to be a donor to my mother, who had a transplant being performed in Canada under the Commonwealth system. They were funding it. The government was funding it. And so I was selected to undergo a test. And when I went to Canada to undergo those tests, I was discovered that I had some scars and thing on my kidney. And I just give a little side here. I also have a sister who had a transplant in 1976. And that transplanted kidney lasted her until 2021, 45 years. One of the longest people in the world to have a transplanted kidney. She's now back on dialysis and she's not doing so well. But getting back to my story, that was when I was about 20, I got those tests. I then lived a normal life. I came down. I started to have hypertension in my late 40s, and the doctors began to treat me for hypertension. Again, I was doing fairly well, and my guess from what I know now, nobody never told me, but I believe I was probably about stage 3 at that point in time. But in my late 50s, I came down with chikungunya. And within a couple months after the chikungunya, I was in the hospital with end-stage kidney disease. So that is my journey, a different journey to Carl. So I was able to prepare for the various stages where most people don't have that luxury.
Mm-hmm. But I think what both you and Carl are pointing out is the importance of self-awareness, one. Yes. And secondly, being in touch with your health practitioner on a regular basis, so that you are knowledgeable and updated on your health and how you can manage your particular condition, primarily high blood pressure and diabetes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so after Carl, after you were told about having end-stage kidney failure and having to go on a dialysis, you highlighted several things that happened that you had to constantly request time off from work to attend a dialysis treatment. You also had to make several adjustments with your family. And then you had to finally terminate from your work because of the health challenges that were being presented to you. How would you say your family adjusted to all of what was happening with you?
The family fell in line and fully supported me, and that there is the situation. The family was a young family. The wife then had to take up the brunt of the duties in relation to making ends meet. Finances were considerably reduced, and so meeting certain financial obligations proved to be a challenge. But without that family support, one would be in a worse off position. Mm-hmm. I could not drive, so the wife was always there to take me to dialysis and bring me back. It was a situation where I could not do simple tasks at home. I would always be tired, where one with something as simple as fetching a glass of water from the fridge proved to be difficult. The lifestyle changes then were tremendous. I had to cut back from using a lot of things, even my liquid intake that there was affected, weight loss. It's a terrible experience, and without family support, one would not make it. You need that family support.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Alan, what was your experience like? Do you have family that rallied around you?
In fact, like eight, 9 years ago, when they actually went into the hospital, that same sister who had the transplant, she came down from Canada. My sister, they were in the hospital every day. Sorry, twice a day, mornings and evenings, they were there to get me out those really dark times. Thank God, since then, I do have my challenges from time to time, and I try to rest, but I have driven myself all the time because I don't like fast driving. So when my sister took me to Dallas the first day, I told her I want to come back. I will get home because I don't like the fast driving. Okay. So I have been able to drive myself to and from Dallas. And now I actually carry Karen and his wife to Dallas. But family support is very important. I have a wife. My kids are down here sometimes, although they're younger things, right? But family support is more important. But what is even more important, I can be honest with you, in terms of survival, this is my personal experience. I was a young man who was brought up in church, and not like most Barbadian people, because of my family, mother died, etc. You know, that was a traumatic period of time, and I turned my back on God for many, many years. But my dialysis, my end stage kidney disease brought me back. And that is one of the main driving forces in my life right now, you know, in terms of keeping me. Family support is important, but I find that persons who have who have a spiritual, some kind of spiritual experience, they tend to do a little bit better. They tend to do a little bit better on this disease. Mm-hmm. But family support is important too. Family support is very important.
Okay. All right. So tell us now about the Kidney Association. How long have you existed, and what are some of the programs and training that you provide?
Okay. In fact, the Barbados Kidney Association is a rather old organization. It was formed in 1986. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, because you find that the Barbados Kidney Association, unlike most kidney associations across the globe, tends to be managed by patients, whereas in most other countries of the world, these organizations are managed by medical professionals. So what that means that for the Barbados Kidney Association, the longevity tends to be a problem, because as you may be aware, our rates of death tends to be higher than the normal population, based on my estimate, about 12 times. So what happens is that our membership tends to not to be replenished too often. And I became president in July 2021, and we had about 20 something members there. Most of them were not really active, right? And so we have been working to try to bring some younger persons into the organization, and also bring some non-dialysis persons into the organization. And we have lots of activities. One of the main things, success areas that we have been looking at, the government give back program. Now, I used to be an accountant when I was working, a professional accountant. And one of the things I found that many people were leaving the university and they had certain technical skills, but they lacked, when they came into the workforce, they lacked certain skills. So I spoke with a number of professional people and asked them if they would be willing to give these young people some presentations, et cetera, and expose them to different areas, marketing, accounting, HR, IT, logistics, even human skills, etc. And several of the persons agreed, but then COVID came upon us, and then the Kidney Association joined the Give Back program, but it wasn't very vibrant. And they said to the persons, you know something, we can merge these two programs. And since then, since 2022, we have created a Give Back program. It's all online with the students, normally on Sunday nights, so the students don't have to leave the comfort of their home. And we expose them to many, many areas. And what we do, we talk about kidney disease and things, but what we do is to use the Kidney Association to give them a practical experience and how they can develop an organization. And I can give an example of this. We had the students look at something, creating a sustainable organization, making recommendations for how to create a sustainable organization. And then we then went over the Kidney Association and showed them how we implemented some of their recommendations. And in fact, last year, this program was so successful that the vice president and the PRO came through that program. So that was one area. And we have been working to educate Barbadians. We have both local, regional, and international connections. We are members of the International Federation of Kidney Foundations, the worldwide body. We're the only association in this part of the region that is a member of that body. We have special links with transplant links out of the UK, a group of doctors who come to Barbados and do transplants. And we also have, we are associate member of Transplant Inc. out of Spain. They go to Trinidad and do transplants from cadavers. But since we don't have, they've come to Barbados because they're interested in a separate program here. Since we do not have the legislation yet, it has been drafted, but it has not been presented to Parliament yet. No, I don't want to go on because I will just stop there because there are a whole bunch of activities. You can check our Facebook page for all the activities that we have. We had a health fair in the Central Bank Greens. It was organized by the Ministry of Energy and Business, their cooperatives department.
Wonderful. So, Alan, you talk about transplants.
Mm-hmm.
Carl, did either of you consider or explore the possibility of transplants?
Seriously, yes. One of my daughters has volunteered to give me a kidney, but I refuse it on the grounds that I had already lived my life, and I wasn't going to inconvenience another person in respect of getting a kidney from them. Whatever will be for me, and that was
it. Okay, Alan.
Yeah. Well, I never considered taking a kidney from my kids. My wife at one time was thinking about it, but then she has her own medical complications. So what I have done is accepted dialysis as a way of that I have to live. And I would definitely, I have been working extensively to try to get the transplant in place, because they believe it would benefit younger persons. Because this is not only an old person disease. We do have a few young people under 21 who have end-stage kidney disease. But I have not, other than me and my wife discussing a little for a short time, I have not explored it. What I have done is to make my life on dialysis as productive as I can.
Yes, so Alan and Carl, I heard what you're saying in terms of not wanting to, as you see it, inconvenience your children in doing a kidney transplant. And therefore, what are your thoughts of, all right, no, let me rephrase that. Okay, so neither of you feel that comfortable about doing the kidney transplant, and it is being facilitated here in Barbados, correct? Kidney transplants?
That is true. Since 2015, we have done 12 transplants to date, all from live donors. Mm-hmm. And that is supervised by the organizations out of the UK called Transplant Links Community. They actually come down here working with Dr. O'Shea and the other team in Barbados to perform those operations.
Great. All right. So in recent times, we've heard a lot about young people developing kidney disease. What advice, what words of wisdom would you offer to younger people, and some of us that are a bit older, in terms of caring and really looking after our bodies, our kidney health?
If you find that basically care for your kidneys tends to be identical to living a healthy lifestyle, you know, because about 70% of the kidney disease is caused by diabetes and hypertension. So obviously, one of the first things you have to do, I don't say cut them out. I say reduce them, your sugar and your salt intake. Okay, and the normal thing about your vegetables, your fruits, etc., a healthy diet. But I think what is even more important is that, especially among the younger people, and I may be a culprit, I may be old, but I'm a culprit at this right now, but I hope we can change that, is to get active. I'm sorry, can't show you, but you know, our young people have these exercises with their fingers alone, you know, the fingers on the phone. But we need to get our young people out there being a lot more active. Mm-hmm. And this is because people talk about that and thing, but and the good old days, but usually I don't think that our dad was that great back then either, because I remember as a little fella eating something called cracklings that was fried, oh, yes. Pig, but that was fried pig fat, and that was said we ate almost every Sunday. We ate that with bakes. That was a
guy. But we burnt it off. We burnt it off.
Ah, that was the key. But we were active. No, the difference between me and my kids is that my mother had to quarrel with me to get me to come in the house, because I could ramble all day, but I was not one of the fellas that was allowed to ramble that night. When it got dark, I had to get in the house, but I could ramble from 6 to 6. No, I don't have that problem, my kids. I just have to fight my kids to come and sit there in the veranda. It's a fight, you know? Mm-hmm. So right. I think that is one of the main things that we have to get back active. There's another thing that I want, and I'm not sure I can call the names on things, but check with your doctors first. Before you, I'm not going to call the names on radio, but before you decide to take extensive use of painkillers, check with your doctor first. Because we have cases in Barbados. Yeah, but it's not now you reading a book on it. We have cases in Barbados where there are two particular painkillers that have damaged people's kidneys irreparably. So before you start taking painkillers, check for your doctor. So I would
excellent advice.
Have a make sure you have an annual checkup, and make sure that that annual checkup includes your kidneys. And by the way, I have to put a little plug here from one of our partners. When I talk about checking your kidneys, there is a clinic in Carrington Village on Chatterton Road, Carrington Village. It's called Forum Foundation. And they do free, I could think, guys, not they're not making any money for it, so I could say they do free kidney testings. And usually, you know, sometimes when people do free things, when you go to make you feel if you're begging, that some me and Barbados do that. I can attest that is not so in the case. Number one, you go on to their website at forum.org and you make a
booking. Can you spell it out?
forlam.org. forlam.org. Go on to that website and you can make a booking, 15 minutes bookings. So when you get there, you don't have 1,000 people in front of you. Right. I took two of my sons there. I did not identify who he was. I went on. And one of my sons was autistic, and he's a very muscular fella. So when he tanks up, boy, that lady can get me. They were so nice and thing. I had to write the owner and tell him what a wonderful experience I had there. So I would encourage anybody, okay, to go onto the website, make a booking at forum.org to have your kidneys tested. And if you are then discovered at stage 3 or 4, they will then refer you to a nephrologist. So thank you, Yuli. Yeah.
So Carl, what words of guidance would you have for young people like your children and others to avoid kidney disease?
I want to say firstly that transplantation benefit both stage of the people, the youth and the age.
Mm-hmm.
In relation, it also will benefit government in relation to the finances that is spent on helping the kidney disease. In relation to saving your kidneys, you need to have those checkups at least once every year, and that they will show you the stage that you're at so that you're better able to control what you're doing and what really affects the kidney. So my main advice is to have those kidneys checked once every year.
Okay. So gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for coming and sharing so candidly about not only your experiences, but what is happening in Barbados as it relates to kidney disease.
You like I make now, one Alan, last appeal? I hope
yes, please.
Yeah. I want to end this here on a positive note, right? I believe that kidney disease is serious, but it also provides Barbados with an opportunity for us to be a world-class transplant center. We have all the competitive advantages. I will not go through them now, but we are also going to be doing a white paper on Barbados, a world-class transplantation center. Anybody who is willing to help us with that white paper can give me a call at 254-0929. But we want to make that and present it to government for Barbados as a world-class transplantation center. Thank you very much.
Well, I say thank you to Carl and yourself, Alan Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
That's Carl Griffith and Alan Haynes from the Kidney Association of Barbados coming and sharing on Visions. And we want to encourage you to keep the excellent work up as we fight the disease of kidney disease.
Thank you very much, Yuli. And Starcom, thank you very much.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yuli Wickham Ashby, and my very special guest today, Alan Haynes and Carl Griffith from the Kidney Association of Barbados. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And remember, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, remember, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Until then, ciao.